Good morning. Thank you so much, Pastor Matt, Kyla. This is just such an awesome opportunity. I like to stand here because I'm short, so that way everyone can see me. But man, we are just thrilled to be here at Green Bay First. Like Pastor Matt said, we've been right here in Green Bay for the last almost 4 years, serving at Central as the worship director and the missions director. And so you guys are family, and we are just thrilled to worship with you today and get to share a little bit of our hearts. We have two beautiful little girls. I think we have a picture of them. Jory is 1 year today. Today is her birthday. And that's Lena. She is 2.5. And so they are just awesome little missionaries already. And they're ready to go to Thailand with us. But Jory, actually, just an amazing testimony from our family. About a year and a half ago, a little bit longer, I was diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer. I was 10 weeks pregnant with Jory. And they, in August 2016, removed my entire left lung with the tumor. And in February of last year, today, we had a beautifully, perfectly healthy baby girl. And so God is awesome. He's a healing God. Amen. We believe that if you have a need, we love to pray for healing. So come find us after. We have a lot of faith for that. Well, like Pastor Matt said, we are going to Thailand. If you see on the next slide, I believe, this is the region of the world that we'll be in, Asia Pacific, so not far from China, Australia, that part of the world. And man, Thailand, if you see on the next map that you'll see, there's a lot of different colors here, and all this is a map of what we call unreached places. And unreached, all that means is they have little to sometimes no access to the gospel. So if they want to know about Jesus, if they've ever even heard of him, they'll have to go very far to find a church. Sometimes at hundreds of miles, there's no churches. We've met many people that have never heard of Jesus, ever. So this is something that burdens our hearts. And if you see on the next map, there's a little bit, this gives you some stats about Thailand. There are 68 million people, and 67 million are what we consider unreached. They have no access to the gospel. And so on the next page, this is a larger map, and those green areas are places that are reached. They have access to the gospel. They have access to a church to come and ask questions. So you'll see Latin America, Africa, those places are green. And what's amazing and really encouraging to us is that they used to be red. They used to be, in many of your lifetimes, they were unreached. Now, man, we have reached these nations. God, the Holy Spirit has reached these nations and are sending missionaries from Latin America and Africa into the world, which is amazing. Thailand just got their first missionaries from Latin America. So we love looking at this map because it shows progress. It shows that God is on the move. The church is on the move, and we're excited about that. On the next slide, you're going to see a university, Rom Kham Hang University. We have the privilege of living basically next door to this university. And that's not a typo on the screen. There are 520,000 plus students on campus. So this is a really large university, one of the top 10 in the world, and there is no known gospel presence there. No missions movement there that we know of. And so we have a heart for young people, for students, for these young adults in Thailand to rise up to learn about Jesus, to accept Christ, and then go out and reach their city. So this is our heart. We have a big heart for coffee. And so one of the things that we've been praying about is coffee ministry on this campus. Yeah, amen. Praise God. We love coffee. And our goal for this on the next slide, we want to be launched by January 2019. That is our goal. On the next slide, you're going to see our website, gopalgo.org, like Go Pack Go. So hopefully you can remember that, Go Pal Go, Go Pack Go. I encourage you right now, if you have your phone, pull it out, pull up our page, and you will find links on here to our Facebook page, which we highly encourage you like that, because we post regularly and keep you updated with not only this journey, but someday in January when we're in Thailand, you'll be able to follow what we're doing, what our adorable little girls are up to over there. So I encourage you to do that. Stop by our table and get a prayer card. Stay praying for us. That's what we really covet your prayers. We need that prayer support. And then also, my husband had the opportunity to hang out with some of your kids this morning, and he passed out. We have prayer cards just for our girls. And so you passed those out to your kids this morning. Amen. Yeah, we are just thrilled to be here worshiping with you.
Well, good morning, Green Bay First. I am Brandon. And we are so honored to be able to share with you on Jory's birthday. We are so excited. If I sound out of breath, it's because I was just dancing around with your kids for a few minutes. So I'm a little bit out of shape there. Man, you guys have a great kids ministry here, and it is just so exciting to see their hearts for missions. They already know about missions. There was like hardly anything to teach about. They're ready to go with BGMC, and they're just rocking it out there. And our little girls are enjoying your kids ministry this morning as well. Well, Pastor Matt connected up with us when we first got approved. Actually, it was right here in this church about 2 years ago, actually right before our everything happened with our surgery and everything, that we got our initial approval with the state right here in this church. We had a board meeting, we had a missions team meeting, and so, man, our missions journey for together really begins right here in this church. How awesome is that? And we actually, I met with Pastor Matt right when we got approved. I was able to call him since we live like 10 minutes away. I'm like, hey, can I just come and talk with you about who we are and what we're doing? And he was like, absolutely, let's get you guys in. And so thank you guys so much for having us this morning. You are a blessed church to be led by Pastor Matt and Kyla. Amen? You guys are blessed. Pastor Matt, thank you so much for opening up this platform for us to share what the Holy Spirit has on our hearts for your team this morning. Will you all join me in prayer as we dive into what the Holy Spirit has for us this morning? Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for this opportunity to meet with your people. Thank you for the message you have been given to you've given to us to communicate with your bride, to encourage and build up your church. Let spiritual eyes be open. In Jesus' name, to receive from you today. Bless this church. Bless Pastor Matt and Kyla and their team as they continue to bring heaven to earth in this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, go ahead and open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. We'll be picking up there in a few moments. Well, I'm so passionate about foreign missions, obviously, right? I mean, I'm standing before you today. But you know, to be passionate about Thailand, I have to have a heart for local missions as well. And it just so happens that my local missions, my Jerusalem, is also the same as your local missions right here in Green Bay. And we begin this year by sharing our hearts for Thailand. We would be amiss if we didn't cultivate an atmosphere where people can get excited and passionate about missions right here in our home city. Amen. I'm so excited to share this message with you in the next few moments as the Holy Spirit has laid this on our heart for you this morning. Because missions enables us not to only see people how God sees people, but also gives us the opportunity to remove the obstacles for people to understand the heart of God. And this is something that we as followers of Christ have the wonderful honor and privilege of doing, to remove those obstacles so people can see God for who he really is. You know, it amazes and saddens me of the amount of people around the world who have no access to the gospel, like Rachel was talking about a few moments ago. There are 16,510 people groups that categorize, I believe it's like now 7.5 billion people on this earth. 42% of these people, about 3.1 billion people, are completely unreached. And I believe we have a little bit of a graphic up there too for you this morning. And so these people have limited or no access to the gospel of Jesus. Can you imagine being the only follower of Christ in your community of several thousand? Can you imagine not having a church that you could physically attend or not have any believers within hundreds of miles where only one person in 100,000 people know Jesus? That's not okay with my family. And God has given us the passion and the means to do what we can to reach some of those people. You know, as foreign missionaries, we have the honor of sinking deep into the culture and the language of the people with whom we're ministering to. In fact, we wouldn't get very far if we didn't learn the language of the people there and in the religious culture as well, which is Buddhism. Thai language is a very difficult language for us native English speakers. It's tonal, meaning that there are five meanings to the same word depending on which word that you use, kind of like Chinese. For example, if I were to say to my wife, "Con soy mak loi kap," it means you're very beautiful. Aw, that's nice, right? But if I were to say "kon suay mak loi kap," it means you're very bad luck. Suay, beautiful, and suay, bad luck. So you gotta be careful, guys. Really careful. So praise God that we will be in 3 years of language school. Amen. We need that because, my goodness, we'd be in some really awkward situations because there's a lot more awkward things that you can say. Trust me, been there, done that. So we need to be able to communicate the gospel in their own language. I had the honor of spending several months in Thailand before Rachel and I got married, and I had the opportunity to see how God was so actively moving in people's lives. There's a picture of one of my favorite stories I want to share with you this morning for just a moment. This is Songkran. You can barely see her just because of my picture quality, but she's in the purple shirt all the way over there on the left side of the screen. And her name is Songkran, and she came from a very Buddhist family, no knowledge of the gospel, really no knowledge of Jesus at all. And she was very reserved as we were talking with her, and she was very quiet, very timid, but she loved to learn English. She was a very advanced English speaker. In fact, she was in Vicky's English class, the advanced English class. Vicky's in the pink shirt. She's from Wisconsin. So cool. And she got really close to Vicky during that time, and she would hardly ever talk to me. I guess I was too intimidating, but her and Vicky really just connected. They went out to dinner like every single night, and they just talked. And you know, Songkran found something different in us, specifically in Vicky. Why would you, Vicky, leave your comfort of America, leave the comfort of all those things that you know, your great education, and come here to this rural university town in the northern province of Thailand and tell me about this? Why would you leave the comfort of everything that you know? And why are you so excited? Why are you so happy? Why are you so full of joy when there's so much suffering in this world? And if you know Vicky's testimony, then you would know why. She's just so confused. Why are you so happy? Why are you full of joy? And Vicky got to share with her why. Well, I am so excited. You know, we don't always see in the moment the fruit of what we are laboring, what we do there. And we found out that a year later, Songkran actually accepted Jesus and started going to the church that we helped start there. Isn't that exciting? But do you know what is my favorite part of this whole story? On the next slide, you're going to see a picture of her in Africa. She got back from, last year, she got back from a year-long missions trip in Africa. What? Give God praise for that. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. And that right there, this is our passion for Thailand, to reach the youth and the young adults, to equip them to reach their nation, and to launch them as missionaries throughout the world. We believe in our lifetime that Thailand will go from being mostly unreached to fully reached, and they will be a thriving sending nation. If you believe that with me, say amen all across this room. Amen. So who wants to go with us? Yeah, awesome. In all seriousness, we need people to join our team. And maybe God's speaking to you about that or not. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. But we do need people to join our team. Did you see that picture, 525,000? That's just on campus. If you include online enrollment, it's like 800,000 people. Wow. Can you believe that? It's a city within a city. It's like five times the size of Green Bay on a university campus. Come on, somebody. We need people to join us. We need people to lift us up in prayer. Seriously. But if you do feel like God's calling you to Thailand, and I'm going to just step out my little pedestal here, please email us. If you want to give a year, give a few weeks, give a lifetime, email us, because God is speaking to people and he's already calling people. We've already talked to people in the past few weeks who have really felt like God is calling them to give a period of time with us there, and we're excited about that. Excited about that. So last week, Pastor Matt shared a powerful message on what if I fail. If you were gone, be sure to go to our website and check it out. But Pastor Matt hasn't mentioned anything about this to me, but I believe that there are some people, as Pastor Matt was talking about buried dreams, that one of you or some of you has buried the dream of missions for your life for whatever reason, whether it's locally, nationally, or globally, and that's been eating at you all week. And let this be a confirmation from Pastor Matt's message, what he said. Take the first step and let the Holy Spirit guide you and equip you. Just start walking. One of the things that he mentioned that really resonated with me is the dream is always bigger than us. The dream is always bigger than us. Whatever that buried dream is, begin sharing it with people who are close to you and ask them to hold you accountable in stepping out in faith. Maybe it's finishing that degree or contacting your pastor to get directed in the missions process. Maybe it's reaching out to some people for advice on how to start that business that's been on your heart for so long. Don't worry too much. It might take anywhere from a few days to a few years to actually get you to the point where that opportunity is full in full force, but take that first step today. Whatever your buried dream is, here is what I know. While not everyone is called to physically take the gospel around the world as a career, it is the heart of God that we would all have a passion for people who do not know Jesus, to have the opportunity to call on him, the only one that can save us. One of the things that has really kept me up at night, really something that I've spent so much of my time thinking about is, do people really go to hell who have never heard the gospel and never know Jesus? Do they really go to hell for all of an eternity? And I'm not talking purgatory for a short while so they can pay off their sins and have eternal life in heaven. No, eternity in hell. If they won't spend eternity in hell away from God, then what is the need for missionaries? Why should we go send missionaries to go and to give those lost people a chance to hear the gospel if that means that they'll reject Christ and then go to hell? That concept carries over to our context too. Are people really going to hell? If they are, what can I do now to show them the way out? Is it my responsibility to do anything at all? Is it? Well, before we jump into the meat of that message, we really need to define a phrase that I just threw out there, and that is the definition of a lost person. How many of you have heard people like myself throw out phrases like, pray for my coworker, he's lost, or my heart breaks because my father is lost and walking in darkness? We hear this phrase a lot in the Christian community, and for people who are not yet Christians or who are new Christians, this term can be kind of confusing, but basically what it means is this. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines lost as not knowing where you are or how to get to where you want to go, unable to find your way. And as followers of Christ, this word has been used to describe people who have not yet made a decision to follow Christ. Jesus says in John 14:16 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Hear me this morning. I believe that God wants to pour out his Spirit on the people here at First to make known the power and the glory of God. God gives us his Spirit, but we choose daily to be changed and to invite others to join us. This passion is something that we cultivate daily. How about you? Are you passionate about making disciples of all nations? When was the last time that you wept for a lost person that you know? When was the last time that you wept for a lost person that you don't know in another country or another city? And we're not talking figuratively weeping, like feeling bad for someone. We're talking real tears. When my oldest daughter, Lena, cries, I can tell you whenever they're real tears or they're crocodile tears, right? And my response is different with the type of cry. There's a difference when she cries because she wants something and when she cries because she's physically or emotionally hurt. If she cries because she wants a cookie and she doesn't even have any real tears, I'm usually not very quick to come. How many parents can relate? Mm-hmm. But when she's hurt and the cry is different, I come running and I move quickly to make sure she has what she needs. I'll wrap her in my arms. I'll comfort her. I'll make it right. And a parent's response to a child that has real tears is no different than the response of our Father God. He's a good father. It's in his nature to come running. It's in his nature as God, the Holy Spirit, to comfort. It's in his nature as God, the Son, to save the lost. Thank God. It's his job, not mine, right? Amen. Yes, when we cry, it pulls an emotional response from us, but those are God-given emotions for a purpose and a reason. These are the hard questions that we must ask ourselves. When was the last time I was burdened for people on the other side of the world who will likely never have the opportunity to hear Christ because there are no churches or Christians within hundreds of miles? The last time that I was burdened over people in my circle of influence who seemingly have it all together, but I know that they don't believe Jesus is the Son of God who died for them and has the power to save them for all of eternity. When is the last time that I cried over my friends who are walking in hopelessness? When is the last time that I wept over my family members who are far from Christ? Take a moment and think about those people in your family who are not living a relationship with Jesus. Go ahead, get their face in your head, hear their voice. What are you going to do about it? How many of you have ever been nervous or scared to share your faith with someone before? Go ahead and raise your hand. Oh, all across this room, yes, amen. We've all had those times, right? Well, if you struggle to share your faith, I hope to bring some encouragement and a possible explanation of why you might be nervous or afraid. Did you know there's actually a medical or a mental reason why you might struggle with sharing your faith with people in your sphere of influence? Our body naturally finds ways to desensitize us to things that attack our emotions, to find ways to protect ourselves psychologically and go on with our day. We all exhibit several of these forms of coping mechanisms. Dr. John Grohol, expert in mental health, gives a few examples of natural coping mechanisms that we may utilize to get through psychological and emotional difficulties. And one of those ways is denial, which is the refusal to accept reality or fact, acting as if a painful event, thought, or feeling did not exist. For example, maybe you use this coping mechanism to justify family members who are good people, religious even, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus. You might say, me sharing my faith with them will only cause frustrating conversations and cause me to be the family downer. They'll go to heaven for sure. You might think it's impossible that my family member went to hell just because they didn't believe Jesus is God and that he died for them and was raised to life for their sins. They were a good person. They have to be in heaven. Another coping mechanism is repression, which is the unconscious blocking of unacceptable thoughts, feelings, and impulses. Maybe you feel that tug in your heart frequently to tell a coworker about your relationship with Jesus, but you repress those feelings to keep peace and maintain good relationships to avoid potentially uncomfortable moments. We've all been there. Maybe you found yourself in one of those situations before. I hope that gives you a little bit of peace of mind to allow yourself to give yourself grace for those uncomfortable feelings that you may have felt or whenever you need to share your faith. But as a follower of Christ, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to remind us of people who are lost and walking in hopelessness because we have a blessed hope. Jesus has the power to save the lost, and we get to play an active role in the process. Our emotions for lost people do not have to end in despair. You have victory and control over your emotions. Amen? Amen. And you can use them to impact the kingdom of God. If you're already in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, I invite you to follow along in reading this passage. Pick up in verse 17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. That's good. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Verse 21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. All throughout the New Testament, we read about being ambassadors for Christ's kingdom. But what does that really mean for us today? In his book, How to Worship a King, author Zach Neese teaches, like an ambassador visiting a foreign country, you can walk through this world confident that you carry on your shoulders the glory of God. Wherever you set your foot, that place becomes the kingdom of God. At home, in the office, a hospital, a grocery store, on a platform, wherever. This concept still blows my mind. I encourage you this week as you go about your day to think about this, that you are an ambassador of Christ. Where you set your foot, you bring the kingdom of God where Jesus is king. Amen? 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 That's good. Some of you might be in this room today and think, I'm cool with being an ambassador. That actually sounds really exciting. But that whole weeping for lost people thing, yeah, I'm just not an emotional person like that. I care for people, really, I do, and it breaks my heart, and I feel bad, but cry? Yeah, that's just not my thing. Well, in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, we learn that weeping for lost people was and is Jesus' thing. Jesus had just entered Jerusalem prior to this message where he rode in on a donkey and people joyously welcomed him. You remember this. And they were saying, Hosanna, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And knowing soon that they would later be shouting, what? Crucify him. And knowing the condition of their heart and their lostness, it says that in verse 41, as Jesus came closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he began to weep. Luke says that Jesus wept for a city that would be destroyed because they did not recognize when God visited them because of their lack of belief. Author Alicia Cole shares, Luke captures the heart of Jesus as he's weeping over Jerusalem by using the word kleio, the Greek word kleio, to describe the way in which Jesus wept. The Greek word kleio is used to express grief at parting, remorse, and sorrow for the dead. That's interesting that he chose that word. In fact, we can think of it as an ugly cry. How many of you recall the last time you had an ugly cry? All the parents with young children said, I'm so glad I don't wear makeup. I'd be a mess if I wore makeup. Alicia encourages her readers to ask God where he is weeping in your life and in the world and join him there. It's never weakness to grieve where God is grieving. Jesus' point was that devotion is all about being close to the Father's heart, having the same heart that the Father has for lost people and sacrificing comfort and resources to search for them and bring them back home. So we come back to Jesus' word. How you understand this verse determines how you live your life. I am the way, Jesus says. No one can come to the Father except through me. Note, he doesn't say, well, there is another way. If your good deeds outweigh the bad, and if you give money to the poor, and you volunteer at church, and you tell people at work that you're a Christian. No! Jesus says that he is the only way to the Father, period. And if that is the case, where does that leave you? Where does that leave your family members, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors? Where does that leave people on the other side of the world who don't have any church within thousands of miles, where there is no one to tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Even if they wanted to, I've had people come up to me, little boys and girls, say, I want to know Jesus. And Ty, I have no church to connect them with there. They're literally asking about Jesus. They're asking to hear more story about David and Goliath, more stories about Jesus, and there's no one. There's no one to tell them yet. Now hear me today. Perhaps you won't be sobbing uncontrollably for lost people. We all express emotions in different ways, but we need to ask God to allow kleio or holy weeping or mourning for the lost to develop more in our lives. We all express emotions in different ways, all of us. But the result of asking God to put kleio or allow kleio to be produced in our lives, that will produce fruit. It will produce fruit. How you understand this verse, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, will cause you to understand the true state of the lostness of your family members who, although they are religious, have no relationship with Jesus. Pastor Scott Wilson from the Oaks Church in Texas so accurately speaks of the current state of our modern-day missions movement here in the U.S. when he states, the most dangerous place for some of us to live and verbalize the gospel isn't on the other side of the globe. It's in our own hometowns, our schools, and our workplaces. If a student walks with spiritual zeal and boldness at school, she may be ostracized by some of her friends. If the fire of God prompts a man to live lovingly, wisely, and boldly for Christ at work, he may lose his job or at least be skipped over for a promotion. There's always a cost for a life of fire-driven faith. Go ahead and close your eyes all across the room this morning. We'll be done in just a few moments. Go ahead and picture yourself standing before Jesus at the end of your life on earth. Go ahead and take yourself there. Maybe generously you spent 100 years on earth. The memories flood back, the high points and the low points. The common theme that I think will be in each of our thoughts at that time is God's faithfulness. Perhaps we will see our memories from God's perspective and we will fall in love with him all over again when we realize all the ways that he's blessed us and protected us. Actually, God protected one of you in getting here this morning. I just really feel like the Holy Spirit spoke that to me. He protected you, and you know that. I just want to confirm that wasn't by chance. That really was God. And he loves you, and he really loves you. He's there for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. So take us back there. And suddenly we are entering eternity, whether it is with God by the grace of Jesus or apart from God by our own choosing. And all of this life will be history. It will happen so quickly. Our days on earth are so few in comparison to eternity. Are you doing everything you can to provide an opportunity for others to stand before God in right relationship one day? You can go ahead and open up your eyes. You might say, well, I'm not a pastor. I work a 9-to-5, and that's my career. I need to focus on my job. And when I get home, I have my family to take care of. I have myself to take care of. Weekends are my only time off, and it's spent running errands or taking kids to the games. I already come to church, and I volunteer a couple times a month. I give to missions, and I even went on a missions trip. To those people, I say, truly, truly, thank you. Thank you. You work so hard, and it does not go unnoticed by God. Thank you for putting God first in your life. Thank you for having a heart for the house of God, putting yourself, putting God first before yourself and your family. Thank you for loving people through missions. It is, however, still possible to do all these things and more and yet still not be moved by the fact that there are lost people all around us. To have fake tears, as my daughter would show you. Perhaps the reason why you haven't had many opportunities to share the gospel in your place of influence is because of your lack of vision or neglect of looking for opportunities to present the possible, present the gospel. How many hunters do we have in the room? How many hunters? Raise your hand. Oh, there's got to be a few. Come on, Green Bay. Oh, yeah. I don't know too much about hunting. I personally like to fish. But how many of you hunters would go into the woods, take your position, and then wait without a gun or a bow or whatever else you use? That's nonsense, right? You bring your gun or whatever you use, all of the latest gear, you go all out. In other words, you plan ahead, right? In fishing, I would never head to the water with only my pole, but no bait or lures or line, unless, of course, I was trying to catch water. And even still, I don't think you could catch water with that. In the same way, when fishing for men, Jesus talked about to his disciples who were mostly fishermen that you don't go out unprepared. You do your research, you plan ahead, and you come to the game ready to play. Think ahead about the people at work or in your families. Think of those conversations that might transpire. And think about how you can guide those conversations to a topic about Jesus. Go ahead and write this down. As ambassadors of Christ, we are called to intentional discipleship. No follower of Christ is the exception. I'll say it again. As ambassadors of Christ, we are called to intentional discipleship. No follower of Christ is the exception. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is the Great Commission. If you haven't heard it before, look it up. It is awesome. It is encouraging. It's life-giving. And this is where Jesus told his disciples right before he was ascending to heaven, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Wait, that means he's with us today, right? Yeah, he is. He's with you today as we go and we make known the power of Jesus. Scott Wilson has said, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission aren't reserved for pastors and missionaries. Whether people are nurses, masons, stay-at-home parents, attorneys, or in any other career, they have been given the high calling of representing the King of Kings in their circle of influence, starting with their family and friends, and then their communities, and on to the furthest reaches of the earth. But they don't have to try to make disciples alone. They have God's magnificent assurance of his presence, authority, and power. This morning, the Holy Spirit is calling us out of the apathy or passionless existence for lost people. Hear me this morning. It is not our job to save people. That's Jesus' job and his alone. He just asks us to be a part of the process. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Let's decide today that we are not going to allow excuses to stop us from bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. How do we begin the process of strategically reaching lost people? If you're taking notes still, you will want to write this down. Start with heart. Start with heart. If you lack the heart for lost people, your motivations will lack authenticity, and your strategies to win souls will lack passion. I'll say it again. If you lack the heart for lost people, your motivations will lack authenticity, and your strategies to win souls will lack passion. How do you start with heart? Write this down. There are three steps that I encourage you to do daily, perhaps even multiple times a day. It's like I have to do a lot. Ask God to break your heart for what breaks his. This is a daily step. Remember that it is never weakness to weep where Jesus is weeping. Ask God to bless your perspective as you start your day. What does that mean? God, give me your eyes today. Let me see things how you see them. Don't let me see them with the world standards or my past experience. Give me a God perspective today. You are an ambassador of Christ. Ask him for a God perspective as you're starting your day so that you can represent the King of Kings with the glory he deserves. And lastly, ask God for strategies to present Jesus to lost people in your life. Remember that we need to come to the game ready to play. Think ahead. Like most habits, as we practice these things continually, it will become second nature over time, and the fruit will show. You were designed with a natural inclination to go and to take action. And when you are not flowing in that rhythm of the heartbeat of God, the condition of your heart begins to worsen over time. And symptoms begin to show, symptoms like feeling yourself stuck in a spiritual rut, rarely being able to hear the voice of God, feeling like you rarely feel his presence, unable to experience the peace of God or the joy of God. That desire to love the world is running through your veins as a child of God. During this worship service, it's my hope that we all walk away encouraged and challenged to take the gospel where it's never been in people's lives. Right here in Green Bay, let's do this together. If you're familiar to listening to the Holy Spirit's conviction in your life, I encourage you in the next few minutes to ask God, what is it that you're speaking to me? Maybe you're not familiar in listening to the Holy Spirit's voice. If you begin to think bad thoughts about yourself or you feel guilt, shame, or condemnation, that's not the Holy Spirit's voice. And maybe the enemy is distorting things and you hear guilt or shame coming from my voice tonight. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Absolutely not. You're a child of God. And the Holy Spirit is convicting people, convicting hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do, is to convict. And I believe that many of us are experiencing that right now, and that's okay. That's good. That's a calling to greater things, for a renewed passion to rise up. So hear my voice this morning today. You can do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And don't try to do it alone without the Holy Spirit's power, because it's not even worth it. It's not even worth it. Before you leave today, or at least before you go to sleep at night tonight, I challenge you to spend a few moments to yourself in a quiet place, all away from all distractions, and simply ask the Holy Spirit, in your own words, it doesn't have to be anything like this, but in your own words, say, Holy Spirit, break my heart for what breaks yours. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Maybe you've never cried or haven't cried in a long time for a family member, a friend, or someone in your circle of influence. Allow those emotions to come naturally. However they will, don't resist anything. Don't hold anything back. It might not be tears. We all express emotions in different ways. But allow God to bring whatever comes to mind up and let those things happen naturally. Say, Holy Spirit, I ask for more boldness and more of you in my life. Pray that you will see yourself as who you really are, an ambassador of Christ with full authority to bring heaven to earth. Go ahead and use that time to pray in the Spirit and allow the overflow of the Holy Spirit in your life to lead you into a greater level of intimacy with God and a new level of passion to reach lost people. Green Bay First, you are in a strategic location. You're in a strategic location in this city, and I'm so proud of the hard kingdom work that you guys have been a part of. We've been sister churches, and we've been watching from afar, well, not far, right across the river, and you guys are doing amazing things for this city. Lives and destinies are forever impacted because of the sacrifices that you have made and continue to make. Each of you together as a church has the opportunity to influence an entire culture around you. Friends, don't miss out on this opportunity to impact eternities by focusing instead on what brings you temporary comfort. That's right. Good word. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5, and I'll close with this in just a moment. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Let God be the source of all of your comfort. And as you make known the love and the power of God, just trust in him. Just trust in him. Before I transition back to Pastor Matt, can you all just raise your hands and just close your eyes? Holy Spirit, I release great faith in this room in Jesus' name for people to be moved from apathy to compassion, for authentic love to be shown through each and every person here. All across this room, I would like you to repeat after me. And with great faith, declare these words over yourself. Go ahead and say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for the influence that you've given me. Holy Spirit, use me to show the love of God to people that you have placed on my heart. Let me show them kindness and compassion in creative ways. Give me eyes to see, answered prayers, and let me be obedient to what you are calling me to do. In Jesus' name.